Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Thursday, July 23rd, 2015. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo. And I may sound a little weird today. We had some technical difficulties over here on my end.
So Yvonne is on his cell phone.
I am on my cell phone.
You're traveling again and you're on your cell phone.
I am, but, you know, over the life of our version 2 of Curmudgeon's Corner, we've done a lot of podcasts from different places where I've been traveling. The last, like, couple of times, we actually avoided, like, doing the podcast when I've been traveling a couple of times for some issues. But the problem that I had today had nothing to do with the travel. For some reason, I tried to log into my Skype earlier today, which is how we usually do it, because the quality of the sound on Skype is actually better than a phone conversation I've had to do it or something.
Yep.
And they kept rejecting my login. Okay? I tried on my computer earlier because I was actually going to try to dial into a conference call using Skype. I do have a voice over IP client on my computer for work, and something happened with it, and it's not working. Okay? All right? And I haven't called IT to fix it. So I was like, okay, fine. Let me just dial from Skype. So I'm going to go dial. I'm trying to log in. It wouldn't let me log into the computer. And I thought it was some problem with the computer. So I said, fine. So I said, let me log in from my phone tonight to do this. Couldn't log in. So I don't know why it's not letting me log in. I have no idea. It said, you know, I tried all the things, and it told me to call Skype customer support. And I was like, no, I don't have time for this right now. So we are on a cell phone LTE connection, which apparently probably sounds like I'm calling from 1975. But anyway.
But that's okay. That's okay. And, you know, our topics today, we're going to talk once again about the presidential field, especially on the Republican side, because there's been fun stuff happening. Yeah, mostly.
They're so much fun. Can I be honest? I mean, the Republicans are just, you know, it is good. You know what? Listen, I don't know what the election's going to bring, but what the result at the end, but the campaign is going to be fun.
Yeah, and I'll also mention some poll stuff because I had an interesting update that I posted on Wednesday, and then we're going to talk about Apple earnings. And we're going to talk about this thing where some people figured out how to remotely hack a Jeep over the internet.
Yes.
And do all kinds of fun stuff with it. Those are our main topics. Before that, I did want to mention one thing. I did not go to work this last day. And the reason was my daughter was getting her wisdom teeth out. So...
Yo.
So she, you know, this is one of those procedures where, you know, they drug you pretty heavily.
So, yeah, they do. I remember vividly when I had it done.
So, you know, so she couldn't drive herself there and back because, you know, basically my agenda for the day was get my son to school, then get my daughter to the dentist. Then wait for my daughter to get out of the dentist, then bring her home, and then basically just keep an eye out because she was so stoned. So incredibly stoned.
What happens with that thing?
Because they give you have to start taking the pain medications before you even go in. And then, you know, she actually had them knock her out because she didn't want to be awake for it. And so she had anesthetic and then she had more pain medicine afterwards. And she was just so completely out of it. It was just hilarious. You know, I did not get any video or anything, but like just as an example. And she tweeted about this, so I feel okay sharing this. After she got out, she allowed to eat soft foods almost immediately. She really, really wanted donuts. Okay,
so donuts.
Donuts.
And then she tweeted something about the donuts.
Right. So we went to a donut shop, and she's like, and she's trying to figure out what donuts she wants and tell the lady. Of course, she's so stoned and confused. That whole thing is difficult to begin with. After about like 6 or 7 minutes, she finally picks the donut she wants.
last minute to pick a donut?
Yeah, well, she picked...
She got there at 2:00.
She picked like a couple donuts, but like, anyway, we get the donuts, we get back to the seat, and it's one of these places, you know, it's got a table and it's got like a bench, right?
Yeah.
And so then like about 10 seconds after we sit down with the donut, she's like, yeah. And then she lay down and she fell asleep.
Yep.
Right there, right there at the donut shop. And so, yeah, I had to drag her out and back home, and, you know, she's feeling a lot better now. She's got a friend over, and they're watching movies or whatever, but, you know.
What happened?
But it was hilarious. It was just fun to watch. And I mean, I feel bad, because she was obviously also uncomfortable, and that's not fun. But, you know, it's the first time I've seen her really medicated like that to this degree. So it's an interesting experience. I never had my wisdom teeth out. I still have them. So, you know, I have.
Oh, mine are gone. Mine are gone. I went through that, but I got taken straight home. I didn't want anything to eat. I didn't want anything. I was so out of it. I just wanted to go home, but that was it.
Yeah.
And they took me home, and I laid down in bed. That was that.
Yeah, pretty much. So I expected once we actually got her home, she'd just go to sleep, but she actually stayed up after that and did some stuff, but, you know, whatever. Anyway, I am glad I never got my wisdom teeth out. I've been really lucky. I have never had...
No, but my wisdom teeth needed to be out. There's just no way. My wisdom teeth, I had a couple of them coming out the wrong direction.
Well, yeah, she was at the point where they were causing her pain. They needed to come out. It wasn't an optional thing for her either.
Right. Yeah, mine was not an optional thing. They were like that. They needed to come out now, you know.
Yeah, but I've never had a major dental work like that. I've never had any sort of surgery. You know, I've never had anything where I was under general anesthetic.
No
surgery. I mean, I've had kidney stones, but I've.
Well, I was going to say, what about the kidney stones? Exactly.
I've never required surgery. I've never had them that were enough of a problem that I needed surgery, or that stuff where they pound you with the ultrasonic stuff or anything like that. I've just taken pain pills and passed them.
Okay.
Which is not fun, by the way, but it's not surgery either. So, yeah.
You didn't have an enlargement surgery or anything? No.
No surgeries, no nothing. I've never broken a bone. Nothing.
Oh,
I've just been lucky. Now,
you'll probably have a, you know, before we get, you know, as we do this podcast, probably at some point I'll fucking get a heart attack or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, because I'm saying all this, of course, next week something major is going to happen to me. It's just, you know.
They're going to be fucking freaked out. They're going to wind up flying to Seattle. For God's sake, there's a fucking Sam had a heart attack or something.
Like, there you go. So the most serious thing I've ever happened is I was stupid and I went skiing with a mutual friend of ours and everything was closed and the weather was bad and the only thing open was well above my skill level, and which was practically zero because I'd only ever skied once or twice ever. And so I went up there and I was completely out of control. I tumbled multiple times. I hurt my left shoulder, rotator cuff, something or other. And to this day, my left arm is weaker than my right arm and doesn't have the full range of motion as my other arm.
Everybody occasionally goes, which is why today, I have one of my employees who is like accident prone and recently just broke a clavicle in like four different places by doing rollerblading, and I basically just banned her from all activities, and I included skiing in that ban. By the way,
there you go. Yeah, like I had fun skiing when it was like on the bunny slopes and was roughly my skill level, but it was just a really stupid thing to go up on a higher level than I was qualified for, and in weather where the snow was really more like ice than snow. It wasn't soft.
That's always a problem. Yeah, when it turns into ice.
Yeah. So anyway. But, and now, of course, now that I'm talking about it, my shoulder hurts. But we're at the 10-minute mark, so that means we're going to stop bullshitting about this kind of stuff. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about, we'll start out with election 2016. Trump and all of these guys, all kinds of fun stuff, and some poll results. We'll be back.
Fun!
Yes, we will be back after this.
Information.
And here we go. Now before we actually start on talking about the election thing, we actually have some feedback related to the election. So rather than save that for the lightning round, I'll bring it up right now.
No. Let's bring up the lightning
round. Mark, who's been a loyal listener for a long time, has two pieces of feedback for us. One, when you guys were listing the Republicans that took the lead, then blew up last cycle, I was a bit disappointed that you forgot to mention the Herminator.
Oh, gosh. I love the Herminator. I'm sorry. Yes.
And he says, absolutely. He says specifically, I was hoping to get one more sound bite of Yvonne barking, Cade!
Cade! I'm sorry. I did think about it last week, but I didn't bring it up. I love Cade! Yes!
There favorite. You go. And second, question, while Donald Trump feels like the Democratic gift that just keeps on giving, is there any chance that his antics could come back and bite them in the butt? Any chance he'll actually grab the nomination?
No, not one. No, not zero. I mean, no.
Although, you know, we can only hope. I mean, that would just be so much fun.
We can only hope.
Can you imagine what we've had going for the last couple weeks, lasting all the way until next November, till November 2016? Can you even imagine a Republican convention led by Trump?
What are they going to be, showgirls, make a showgirls at the convention dancing, and then, you know, Trump, like, I don't know. Oh, what the hell? It would be a political pundit's dream come true.
Now, of course, there are people that have been talking about what happens if he runs as a third party, as an independent.
He's not going to do that. Listen, today, you know, one of the things today, he did the financial disclosure document. He showed how much money he had been making. And it shows, now it didn't show his expenses, but it showed like a whole bunch of revenue because, you know, like he showed certain places, well, I own this asset that's worth $50 million, but it also showed like he had a mortgage on it of like $60 million. So you had no real clue how much he really made.
Yeah,
okay?
I should mention one thing that apparently in a statement they put out prior to these being released, like his lawyer or somebody put out a statement that they were basically complaining that, you know, these forms are not designed for someone with the massive wealth of Mr. Trump. Like an exact fucking quote.
Well, let me put it this way.
Or close to exact.
He did press when he submitted it, and I got the quote, and I took a picture of it on my phone to save it. And I'm taking a quote. This is from an article in the New York Times called a section called First Draft, today, July 22nd. And I quote, when he submitted it, Mr. Trump posted in a statement that his wealth exceeded $10 million. and it was capitalized to $10 billion, and it's stated here, he capitalized
yes.
the $10 billion. Okay, however, the document's limitations made it difficult to corroborate his claim. It showed that Mr. Trump, a Republican, earned at least $380 million last year, making him the highest-earning candidate in the 2016 presidential field, and the detailed assets worth at least $1.4 billion. But the form contained wide ranges for asset values and income, so it made it impossible to calculate a very wealthy candidate's net worth. And that's the thing we're talking about, because, you know, look, he talked about, and this is the debate about everybody talks about Donald Trump's wealth, because he's talking about all this income, but he sure as hell didn't talk a lot about expenses, okay?
Right.
And he apparently holds quite a lot, he owes a lot of money. He showed he owed billions and billions. And I'm sure that, you know, those billions have interest payments and shit and whatever. I don't know. How much is this guy worth? Who knows? I don't think he's worth anywhere near what he is. And the other thing is that it showed that most of his money was made, which I actually, well, I figured that was what he was making it, on royalties from, like, his name being used for a whole bunch of shit.
Right.
Which, by the way, that revenue all of a sudden got cut to fucking gutted because he went and said so many stupid things the last few weeks that a lot of those contracts got canceled. So I don't know where that leaves him, to be honest with you.
Well, come on, Yvonne. It leaves him as the next president of the United States.
I would say, look, I will shave every single follicle of hair off of my body.
And that's a lot.
I mean, every single, yes, and I have a lot of hair. For those of you who have met me, I have hair on my chest, I have hair on my legs, yes. I have hair everywhere.
You don't have to give details. Yvonne is a hairy man.
Yeah, I am a hairy person. I will shave every single hair follicle off my body if Donald Trump becomes president of the United States of America.
Forget the rest of your body. I'm just looking forward to seeing you completely shiny head bald.
Everything. I'll shave every fucking thing. Not, I won't leave one single strand of hair.
Okay. We'll hold you to that. Let's move out from the financial disclosures and look. Trump is the main story right now, and people have been like,
"What about the big thing?" So the Ohio governor today went out there.
And yeah, well, let's
a Republican.
Let's finish with Trump before we talk about Kasich.
Oh boy, we do have more Trump stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so look, here's the thing. Everybody
the McCain
is,
thing.
Well, there there's several Trump things. Look, first of all, everybody is like bitching that why is Trump getting all this attention? And of course he's
why wouldn't he say all these outrageous things?
Yes. I mean, here's the thing. Like, okay, everybody's like, well, he's not a serious candidate. He is.
Oh, I like military guys that don't get, like, captured.
To give context on this, he had been feuding with McCain. McCain had been coming out basically saying, you know, that various things about how Trump is stupid and not like a real candidate and blah, blah, blah. And so this was sort of Trump's retaliation against McCain. So this blew up into a big thing. And what's comical is, of course, there was all this commentary almost instantly, like within an hour of like him making these comments about McCain. First of all, some of it was misreported. Like there were people who were saying, you know, Trump said McCain isn't a war hero. And there were a lot of headlines along those routes. And that's not actually what Trump said. Trump actually repeatedly said that he was a war hero, but he was only a war hero because he got captured and he liked people who didn't get captured. So he was disparaging.
He said that the only reason that I'm sorry. It was an insult. It was an insult.
Oh yeah, flat. It was absolutely flat. An insult. It was absolutely an insult. It's just it was quoted in ways
out,
that mischaracterized
and,
it slightly.
And oh, by the way, he really diminished, and I do agree with the fact that it was no matter, you know, you take the whole concept, it was a direct insult to basically every American that's been captured as a POW.
Yes. Having said that, I believe that he was intending only to insult McCain. But yes, you're absolutely right. He insulted everybody through this, or all of those people in that class that you mentioned. But here's the thing. Like, all this commentary started coming out within hours, basically saying how this is the end. Now Trump is absolutely positively done. And, you know, there have now been a couple of polls that include time after that happened. He's still at the top.
Well, but he's still at the top with 20.
No, I know. And
I mean, come on.
No, I know. Look, no one believes he's going to stay at the top. Because part of this is, of course, the media circus is self-reinforcing. Because he's a clown, everybody's talking about him. Because everybody's talking about it, the name is...
You and I know there's a whole bunch of other candidates out there, right?
Yes.
Listen, you grab the average person right now. I can go out here. I'm in downtown Atlanta. I'll go out there, grab people on the street, and I'll ask them, tell me who's running for president on the Republican slate.
Trump.
How many names do you think I'll get out of the average? Exactly. The first person is going to burn out is Trump.
Well, and it is self-reinforcing.
If they mention three more names, it's a miracle.
Yeah, and look, here's the thing. You know, it's not like... I mean, I understand the people saying, well, why do you give him the press in the first place? If you don't take him seriously, he'll just go away. But at the same time, it's like, how can you not report on him? I mean, come on.
The fact that Huffington Post, for example...
Put him in the entertainment section.
And actually, you know what? They're not wrong.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I understand the point they're trying to make, but the bottom line is...
But they're not wrong!
As long as he's leading in the polls, you have to at some...
But honestly, yeah, okay.
I mean,
we just said, how many of those fucking people that are getting polled have any clue as to who the hell the Republican candidates are?
Right, but...
At this point, where we are in the campaign.
But can you imagine, like, the... You know, what are you saying? You're saying that the press should take the person who's leading in the polls and just ignore them because the press thinks he's a joke? Well, what if they thought Hillary was a joke? What
but
if
he
they
is
thought
a
Bush
joke.
Was a joke? You know, I know
but he is a joke.
I hear you, but at the end, that's a judgment call, and he's leading in the polls. You know, and so
I'm with you, but at the same time, the thing is. Honestly, because of all his statements that he does, he's not doing this seriously. He really isn't.
Well, look.
Really entertainment.
I mean, it's only a matter of time. There's no question this is a bubble. This is a bubble driven by this initial attention. He will continue to make stupid statements. He will continue to do this. He will do that. But more to the point than any of that. Is that, as you pointed out a few minutes ago, he's at the top of the polls, but we're still under 20%, or about 20%. There are a couple of polls that actually have him over 20% at this point, but about 20%. And you've got 15 other Republican candidates splitting the rest of the vote. There are polls that say, you know, there's something along the order of 70% of Republicans who say, under no circumstances would they ever, ever, ever vote for Donald Trump. Okay, so he's got 2/3 of the 30% that would even consider him. The rest of the 70% are like, there's no way. There's no fucking way we'll consider him. And you can get a certain amount of the way through the process being the one who gets 20% when the rest of the field is completely scattered. But once you
let's get this clear. Like 90% of the American populace would not vote for this idiot.
Yes.
So
one of the
and all he does is just say outrageous, idiotic comments on a regular basis.
Yes.
So, okay. So doesn't that constitute entertainment?
Yes.
And not real politics?
So we've been going a little while here. Let's talk about a couple of the specifics that were fun here. We talked about McCain. The other thing he did is Lindsey Graham, who is also running for president, and by the way, who is in the poll averages is currently within rounding error of zero. But Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham went on to one of the Sunday talk shows, I forget which one, and actually said outright, yes, I forget the exact quote here, and I apologize, but he basically said that Donald Trump is a jackass, and he should stop being a jackass. Okay?
Yeah.
That was the comment he made. So a couple hours later, Donald Trump responded by, at a speech he was giving that was being broadcast live on several news networks, saying... Lindsey Graham calls me an asshole, so let's find out what he thinks about it. Hey, I've got his phone number here. Why don't you all call him and say what you think about him calling me a jackass?
Gives
out Lindsey Graham's cell phone number on live national television. Now, before you get to the video that came out today, which I know you're going to mention.
Yes.
Within like an hour of Trump giving out the phone number, Lindsey Graham tweets, "Looks like I'm going to need a new phone. iPhone or Android?" The next thing that was reported was a reporter who was going to the movies in D.C. just happened to come across Lindsey Graham also going to the movies with Senator Iote, Senator Kelly Iote, and her kids. So they were all going to the movies together, I guess. And Lindsey Graham had given his cell phone to Senator Iote's kids to answer. So it was still getting calls continuously, like all the time. The voicemail was completely full, but it was still ringing. Like every time a call ended, it would ring. Call, ring, call, ring, and off the hook. So he gave it to the other senator's kids who were answering the phone and, you know, joking around with whoever called. You know? And at that point, I was already like, you know, Lindsey Graham has a lot of things, like, if you start looking at policies and stuff, I'm sure I disagree with him on many, many things. But actually, like, every time I've actually seen him, like, talking in a more personal, he sounds like a fun guy, okay? He sounds like...
Yeah.
He's
an all right guy. Maybe, there's a number of politicians, like, you know, I want to agree with his policies, but you know what? You know, but you're okay with a person, but you and I don't agree on everything. Well, so
honestly, I haven't followed Lindsey Graham enough to actually know the details of what he thinks about pretty much anything, other than, you know, he's a conservative Republican. Duh. But anyway, so I just thought the whole thing of, like, first of all, he's like going out to the movies with another senator and the other senator's family, and, you know, he's letting the kids answer the phone. I'm like, okay, this is awesome. And then the next day on Wednesday, he comes out with a video of how to destroy a phone. And if you haven't seen this,
yes!
Google it. It's all over.
It's hilarious.
It's basically like, you know, if you remember the movie Office Space when they smashed the printer.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
This is Lindsey Graham and his phone. So he's trying all kinds of different methods to destroy the phone. He's sticking it in a blender. He's hitting it with a hammer. I think he goes after it with a chainsaw. He, like, drops it off a building.
He uses like a hatchet or something.
Yeah, something like that. And of course, it's an old flip phone, which, like, okay.
Yes.
You get this, like, 3 minutes of Lindsey Graham destroying the phone in slow motion with, you know, dramatic music behind it. It's awesome. And honestly, you know, I don't really know much about Lindsey Graham, but I hope As a result of this, he goes from 0% in the polls to maybe 1 or 2%.
At least,
he deserves a few percent out of this. Anyway, it's,
I do agree.
And meanwhile, of course, is there any other better way for Trump to prove Lindsey Graham's point that Trump is a jackass?
Well, I think that he has shown completely that Trump is a complete asshole.
Oh, and I made a good point of it. I want to add one more thing while we're on this topic. Somebody apparently, Bush was at some campaign event. Jeb Bush was at some campaign event, and somebody asked him, "So, does Trump have your phone number?" And he answered, "No." And that was it. Anyway, the whole thing is just like, okay.
I was wondering who published the post, because I saw the video. It's like, how to destroy yourself with Lindsey Graham. And I was just wondering if he did it himself.
It was LJ Journal or whatever they are.
They did a great job. The video was awesome.
Yeah, like the video actually has like their logo and everything on it. And they originally.
Yeah, the video is awesome. You gotta see it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
All right. So you were
mentioning Kasich. Like, really, who cares?
Yes.
He's another nobody here, right?
It's another guy. Well, actually, he got a lot of press coverage during his launch. By the way,
just to get it right, it's IJ Review are the folks who did it.
IJ Review. That's right. I kept thinking it was like I just seen, but it's not. Okay. But anyway. All right. So Kasich. Okay. Look, he got a lot of press when he got launched. Okay. He was on Today. I saw him on all. He was on Fox and he was on CNBC. He was in a couple of different places when he announced. I guess the thing about Kasich that I can say is versus a lot of the candidates, he is like actively striving to be in the center as a Republican.
Huh? I said, yeah, that he's toast.
Well, I don't know. Look, here's the thing. I think we have assumed. Well, it's not just the centrist thing.
I think, he's competing in the same space as Jeb Bush. Like, Jeb Bush is clearly the most centrist candidate. Yeah, Kasich might be more center than Bush is, but Bush has the money. Bush has the money.
Look, I 100% agree. But what I'm saying about centrist is, I don't know. Look. It's another candidate. You're right. I mean, and if looking at the odds today, yeah, he's got no shot. None of them.
No,
I don't know.
No, he's not.
But we got another one. And that was, maybe he'll pull a Gingrich. Who knows? I don't know. Anyway,
we got Trump
around us.
I mean, with 16 of these guys in here, you really look. At least half of them.
Carly was on the TV the other day pounding the pavement. That was just, stupid fucking cunt bitch. But anyway.
Oh really? Okay.
I'm sorry, did I mention to their audience that I hate Carly Fiorina with a passion? But
yes, you have. We've been trying to do better, but not completely better on the swearing. I should get a beeper.
I'm sorry. I hate Carly Fiorina. Okay, all right. She with a passion. Okay, all right. Sam knows that I'm not a hater.
And for any new listeners, it's because Yvonne used to work in the company that she ran and disagreed with much of what she ran into the ground.
Let's be clear, she didn't just run it, she ran it into the ground. She didn't run it. Okay, she just ran it into the ground. Okay? She took it, it was doing well, and she destroyed it. Okay. He took it and just didn't do anything. It just sat over there like, masturbating in your office and fucking, like, I don't know, doing whatever with, like, dildos or whatever.
Yvonne.
What?
You're out of control.
What?
She's at less than 2% of the polls.
She's a moron. She's an idiot. She is like the Antichrist. She should be freaking like, she should be taken out and flogged. Okay, all right. Okay, she should be like, you know,
Yvonne, you gotta calm down.
Okay.
It'll be okay.
I'm sorry.
It'll be okay.
I hate her with a passion. You don't understand. I was driving around. I'm in Atlanta today. All right? There's this big building. It's downtown. It's one of the bigger buildings here in Atlanta. It used to be on one of the towers where HP had all the reparations. You know what? Now, what is there? Nothing. You know why? Because she destroyed it. I hate the bitch. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yes, Yvonne. That's wonderful. Anyway...
Sorry, people. I'm sorry. Anyway, all right. Okay. So enough about the Republican candidates. I think we covered enough of them for this week.
Yeah. Okay. So it's enough about the candidates. But I did want to mention one thing. On Wednesday, July 22nd, I made one of my posts for my election site. Which, by the way, I haven't set up everything related to this, but it's you can now get to it by electiongraphs.com. I haven't put any actual branding on it or anything like that, but electiongraphs.com will get you straight to my election stuff. And I posted on abelsmay.com, which is also linked from electiongraphs.com. There's a thing with the latest analysis articles I've done. But on July 22nd, I posted, "We have a race. Rubio is now within reach of Clinton." And this is the headline here that from starting with when I...
Yeah, but Rubio isn't in reach of a nomination, so what the hell anyway?
Well, it's not just him. There has been a general trend. Clinton has been weakening. But Rubio is the one that hit this milestone first, because from the first time since I officially launched my election tracking right after the 2014 elections. I almost said 2012, but no. After the 2014 elections... somebody, one of the Republicans, is within shooting distance of Clinton. And what I mean by that is not that they're in the lead. When you look at state polls or anything.
They got a possibility.
Basically what I do is I look at the states and say, look, if they won all of the states they're ahead in, plus all of the states where Clinton's lead is less than 5%, because... A 5% lead is a lead that can disappear pretty damn quickly. It's also the size of lead that you can imagine there being some sort of systematic polling error that causes you to be 5% off. You know, we've seen it in some of the recent elections. There are sometimes significant polling errors. So you can imagine that a 5% lead could disappear in one of many ways. And so they're now... Rubio is now at the point where if you gave him every state that Clinton is ahead on by less than 5%, that he would actually win by 8 electoral votes. Now, that would require him, you know, basically all the states he's currently ahead in, plus North Carolina, Iowa, Florida, New Hampshire, Nevada, and Virginia, where he's currently behind, but by less than 5%. So it's still, he's still behind. No question about it. Clinton is still ahead of all of these people. But for the first time in quite some time, one of the candidates that we have significant polling about is within reach. You can imagine, you know, a scenario that has them winning. And of course, you know, we've still got... as we're recording this, 474.9 days until polls start to close. We've got a long time for things to continue to move. Over the last few weeks against most of the Republican candidates, I only spent a lot of time looking at the ones that...
Well, guys, let's be clear about the numbers, look, and where they're at. And I, especially when you're talking about Hillary and how the Republicans are, but nothing's guaranteed. Even for like Hillary with that margin, those we've been talking about, you know, look, let's put it to you this way. Frickin', what's his name? Al Gore lost a frickin' Bush. And that was like after 8 years of economic growth and expansion and everything good going on for the damn country. So, you know, even Hillary, with her massive advantage, everything, whatever, as you're showing with the numbers that are showing out there, nothing's guaranteed.
Right.
Nothing is guaranteed.
And one thing that to keep in mind, like I do all this poll analysis, it's showing sort of the state of things right now. If the election was held today, obviously the election is not held today, and a lot can happen. And they've shown that like polls this far out are not predictive of the actual election results at all. Too much happens between now and election day. So that is not the intention of this. The intention of my analysis is not right, you know, certainly not when we're talking right now in the middle of 2015. It is not a prediction of what will happen at the end of 2016. It is more, you know, okay, the Republicans are all behind. How much work do they have to do to win? Or how much, or the other way to put that is, how much does Hillary have to screw up for them to win? It's not, everything is within the realm of possibility right now. I mean, hell, there are scenarios where Hillary doesn't even get the nomination.
Hell, you don't even have to screw up. I mean, look, Al Gore didn't screw up leading into up to that damn campaign. He still lost.
Yeah, well, things are a lot closer there anyway. But there are a lot of structural things that seem to have been trending against the Republicans since then.
But let's put it to you this way. Bill Clinton's tenure was, I would say, in terms of like where he left the country because of the situation he got versus what Obama got. Look, the country was doing a hell of a lot better than it's doing right now. Okay? Let's be clear. I mean, and this is not a product of what Obama did. I mean, Obama got dealt a fucking, like, the worst economy since the Depression. I mean, Clinton didn't get handed that. Okay, but you know, when he turned it over, I mean, Jesus, the country was almost in surplus. Even like, let's put it this way, today, even John Kasich, today, you talking about this, like I watched a clip on TV, he himself flat out said the Republicans took the surplus and squandered. He said it flat out. That's right. The reality. They did. You know, the ones that handed this massive deficit over was a Republican to Obama. And oh, by the way, during Obama's administration, the deficit goes down by more than half, like two thirds. So let's get, you know, Republicans keep being delusional about we're the party of fiscal responsibility, Bullshit. The last three Republican presidents have had far more deficits than the last two Democratic presidents. Okay, right? So get over it, fuck. You know, stop talking about it. Well, anyway.
Right.
The bottom line is this. Far away, a lot of change, very unpredictable, and there's a lot to happen between there and there, and between now and then.
My point at this point is that the trends in the last few months have been going against Hillary. Rubio is the first candidate to be within reasonable shot of her, but Bush is not far behind. Paul is not far behind that. And you mentioned, you know, hey, it's not going to be Rubio, but, you know, depending on how you count the poll averages, he's either in fourth or fifth place right now, you know, behind Trump, Bush, Walker, you know, those Paul.
I'm assuming it's going to be Bush.
I know. But, you know, as you've said before, you know, he's the most likely, but, you know, you got all this other stuff going on, too. The right set of things happens and maybe you do get a Rubio. You know, we're a long way out from that too. There's a lot of crazy stuff that could happen, but you know, hey, I was really excited because up until now, all of my poll analysis has consistently said, Hillary wins, Hillary wins, Hillary wins, Hillary wins, Hillary wins. Oh, and yeah, still Hillary wins. This is the first inkling that we might actually have a race here. Now, Hillary's still way ahead, but it is getting closer. And this is what I predicted back in November as well, because you know, you've got You mentioned, you know, the general person on the street doesn't know who any of these jokers are. They do know Hillary, sort of, because she's been in the news for decades. But really, most of these other guys, they're like, who? And that is going away over time. And these people get out there, their names get known, people start to recognize them. And meanwhile, of course, they will pile on Hillary more and more. So it would be shocking if it didn't get closer.
And by the way, it always has.
Right.
It always has.
Yes. And of course, the media plays a part in that, because their goal, they don't want a boring race where the result is clear from beginning to end. So
we don't want a boring race.
No, we don't either. No.
So
the pattern is always that. When people talk about media bias, I say this over and over again, the biggest bias is not pro-Republican, pro-Democrat. The biggest bias is to make it interesting. And what that means is whoever is in the lead is going to get cut down. And whoever is in that number two slot is going to get all kinds of positive attention to try to narrow that gap and make it more interesting and more fun to watch. Because that's the true incentive that the press has. The one final note before we wrap up this extra long segment and move on to something else is that if you look at the five Republican candidates who have the best polling, and I don't mean like highest numbers, but the largest volume, best quality of amount of polling, that's Bush, Rubio, Paul, Christie, and Huckabee. None of them do better against Hillary than Romney did against Obama. Right now, that's the same.
Right.
Right now, that, like, you know, I was saying the best case if they get all of the less than 5% lead states. But if you just take the states they're ahead in, right now the ceiling is what Romney did. Nobody's doing better than Romney right now. And so that's where we are right now. We'll see if that changes. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back.
Breaking.
And actually, in deference to our listeners who hate Apple stuff, we'll talk about the Jeep first, and then we'll end with Apple. We'll be back after this. Back yet again. So Jeeps.
Yes. Jeeps. So
what happened?
Okay, so all right, so what I saw today was that some people from Wired magazine
The article was in Wired. It wasn't people from Wired who did it. It was some independent security researchers who've been working on this for years.
So they had been working like years ago, and they had shown a different hack where, if I remember correctly, they showed the hack on a Prius, I think it was.
Prius is one of the vehicles they've done, yeah.
Yeah, and they did a hardwire where they directly being hardwired with a computer. They showed how they could to control the vehicle inside the car.
Okay? Right. Basically, so they would plug into the diagnostic port with a laptop, and they showed how through there they could control all kinds of car features, from the entertainment system to actual things like acceleration and braking.
Yes, right. So they could do that, but obviously they could do that from
inside the car.
They have to be directly inside the car.
At the time, everybody sort of poo-pooed them and said, okay, well, if you have physical access to the car, I mean, you could just turn the knob on the radio. You know, you right, could exactly. you could push the right. gas. So this is no big deal. And right. so basically
so they did. Yeah. So the difference was now that they took a Jeep Grand. They took the Jeep Cherokee. Okay. And they gave it to a reporter, and they said, listen, you drive, and we're going to fuck around with you on it. And they did all sorts of things. They were able to affect just about everything on the vehicle. You know, acceleration, stopping, the audio, whatever. They took control. Now, they explained the way that they were able to take control was they knew the IP address of the vehicle. I believe if I was reading today, they had written some software and some scripting in order to be able to do that. And then they were able to take control of the vehicle. It yeah. wasn't, it took some.
Well, here's, work. But here's the scary part. What they're able to do. Is basically the vulnerability here is in these vehicles, and they did this first on the Jeep, but this actually applies to a whole lot of potentially applies to a whole
Chrysler
bunch of
vehicles.
Chrysler vehicles that have this internet enabled entertainment system. That does all kinds of things, lets you do, it'll get updates through the internet, it does this, it does that, it does whatever. Anyway, it's not secured in such a way that they're apparently able to, I think it was a Verizon network, some phone network, I forget, as long as they had a phone on that network, they could basically monitor background conversations, and they could just put out a scanner looking for these vehicles, and over time they could collect in the article, and by the way, that full article.
Now they have to know the IP address of the vehicle.
No,
by the way,
no, they could get the IP this way. So look, they couldn't target us. It's hard to target a specific.
No, they couldn't target a specific vehicle. Is what I'm saying.
Well,
they get an IP address. But I'm like, okay.
Wait.
It's not like I was riding beside vehicle X, and I could easily get that IP address of that vehicle right beside me.
Well, not immediately, but you can build a catalog of the vehicles out there, and eventually you'll have a full catalog.
No. Yeah. But it wasn't like it took. Okay.
So let me describe the way it works. First of all, the article, if you haven't read this is well worth reading. It's Hackers Remotely Kill a Jeep on the Highway with Me in It by Andy Greenberg, posted on Wired on July 21st. So basically the thing that shocked these researchers was they figured they could probably get wireless access if they were near the vehicle. But they discovered that they could get wide open access from anywhere on the internet, basically. And the way the scanning worked is they would basically just open up their scanning software, and every few minutes it would identify a new vehicle. And then they could, when they identified the vehicle, they said, oh, okay, this vehicle is online right now. Now they've got that vehicle's IP address. And then, well, but they don't know anything about it. They query the car's GPS, and now they know exactly where it is. And then they can do whatever they want to with it. And so they were talking about how they would be like, okay, let's see what we got. Oh, there's somebody in Montana. Oh, there's somebody in Texas. Oh, there's someone here. And any one of these cars were then wide open where they could go into that car. And basically, for whatever reason, and this is the fundamental problem, is the system was not built with security in mind. So once you are in, okay, you can fuck around with the radio. That sucks, but big deal. But not only can you screw with the radio, and then they sort of escalated. They start with the radio and the entertainment system. Then they're turning on the wipers. Then they're changing the air conditioning settings. Then they're doing this and that. And those are all annoying. But then they're like, oh yeah, and we can push the accelerator. We can push the brakes. We can even turn the fucking steering wheel.
By the way, it has to be in reverse.
Yes, they said that right now they can only control the steering wheel in reverse, but they think that's something they can probably figure out how to do it going forward soon, and they're still working on that. But basically, you can control the vehicle, and by the way, the probable thing to do with this is, yeah, they're all, you can imagine, there are all kinds of mischievous things you could do here. Now, these are sort of white hat folks, so they've been sharing this information with Chrysler for many, many months, and apparently they've made an update available to close this loophole.
Actually, yes, Chrysler realized the gaps they had, and they are making an update available to plug the hole. Yes.
But it is an update that you're going to have to go in and get done. Or I think they said USB stick or something. But anyway, so like a lot of people aren't going to bother, right? So the thing with vulnerabilities.
I would think that at least like when you get your nets, listen, these are relatively new vehicles. I would guess the next time they go get their servers, they will get that update.
Yes, mostly.
Because they usually, I have experience with now that I've had new cars with like software in them that they do regularly a software update. I've gotten like that on my service.
Most likely. And a couple of car manufacturers are announced that in their new models, it's hard to retroactively do this. They might do it, but they're going to roll out over-the-air software updates, so they could actually push the updates down to the cars, which right now they cannot do. So realizing things like this is going to make them take this more seriously. But part of the concerns that were brought up in this article is that the car industry has been fairly slow in recognizing that this is important. And this ties into a theme that we've had recently about companies in general not taking security seriously. And you got to also imagine this is only going to increase. I mean, you know, my car right now doesn't have this kind of connectivity, but many, many do. When we're talking about the freaking Google self-driving cars, the way they work is not by having onboard smarts. The way the Google cars work is actually that they talk to the network, to the Google mothership, to ask for instructions and figure out what's going on. And so, of course, they're fully internet connected. And so you can imagine all kinds of things where, okay, you know, somebody hacks Google and decides to take all the Google self-driving cars in the country and make them accelerate into the nearest wall. You know, now hopefully Google is taking security seriously and won't allow that to happen. But we see all of these hacks going into all of these places with all of these zero-day exploits that people don't understand and they don't know until they happen. And the more connected and the more online everything is, I mean, we were talking before about like, you know, losing your personal information from your healthcare provider and stuff like this. And okay, that sucks, but that doesn't suck as much as some jackass hacker deciding that it would be fun to make all the cars crash.
I know, but I you know, look.
And by the way, it's not just cars. I mean, we mentioned.
I know.
I don't know if we talked about it on the show, but there was that security researcher who also showed that he could hack into the controls of the freaking airplane from the entertainment system in the back of the seats.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah. Now, that guy was plugged in directly. He ripped the cables and he plugged into the plane, and there was a couple of things. But let's be clear about this, okay? We have been pounding the table talking about how major companies, even with all the breaches that we've had, don't take security seriously, even to this day. Okay? Yeah. We've been talking about that. It's been a recurring thing. Today I was talking about that subject because I was talking about a customer today with somebody, and we kept trying to debate. We didn't understand why, even with all the issues that are going on, why they don't do it. And I think it's something, you know, we've talked about that maybe they don't care because of the financial exposure. I think that sometimes it's just maybe they get complacent. Maybe they think, well, we've hired all these people because most companies have IT security, corporate security, and all these people hired. And maybe they think that they're doing all the right things to do this. Maybe they think they do, but even when they aren't, and they still think they do, you know? Something like a device like this, right? So we're talking about software on a car. When you're talking about that, you're taking a vehicle, you're connecting to the internet. And one of the most basic things to just, you know what? Make sure that the connection is like is firewalled to the outside, so you can't control the vehicle from outside. Would seem like to you and me who have been in this IT for like a long time, straightforward. But Jesus, it didn't seem straightforward to these morons to set this thing up. I mean, I heard about the exploit, how simple it was, and I'm like, really? You didn't just firewall the stupid thing so somebody can do this?
All this stuff should be encrypted by default. It should have very strict access controls. It should be
firewalled, password protected, and encrypted. What the fuck is stopping you from doing that?
Very fundamental level, it should not be possible to take over the car from outside the car.
You should not be able to make a connection to make any change whatsoever remotely from the car unless you're authenticated, encrypted. I mean, all those things. No way.
Well, and again, once we get to the self-driving cars, you do have to start to say like, okay, in the end, you know, you're potentially reliant on external services. Now, at least with Google's, you are. There may be alternative technologies where you're not. But, you know, what is to stop Google from saying, okay, you know, all the cars in California, it's time to go to Montana for the day.
Right.
You know, so... and just take over and say, you know, you wanted to go home? No, I don't think you should go home. You're going to go to Starbucks instead. You know, let's take a more potentially realistic example from like the Google thing. Let's say that you're wanting to go on a road trip and you're routing with the car and it's a 100-mile road trip, right? And it's got a choice of many, many routes it could go through. What's to stop Google from... you know, accepting advertising, that the results of the advertising is that it makes sure your car drive past a certain establishment on the way instead of taking a route that avoids it.
You
know,
right.
So like, you know, your route just happens to take you past 16 McDonald's on your way there. And maybe by the fifth or sixth one, you're like, oh man, I'm getting hungry. Maybe I'll stop at McDonald's.
There could be something, you know. Or maybe you're driving the car, and because you're not driving, you're just asleep, so it doesn't matter.
Maybe. But you could see Google might even do it in a subsidized way, and you could see people going for it that says, you know, hey, we'll pay for your gas if on out of every 100 miles we get to drive you past a place of our choice. You know, or something.
No, I can see that. But look, honestly, within the next 20 years, paying for gas.
Yeah, no, I know. It'll be electric.
Toyota or hydrogen. Toyota today showed off a car they're starting to sell in the U.S., hydrogen fuel cell. And Toyota thinks that they're going to make that work in a very efficient way. The CEO to look. I mean, honestly, in terms of like fuel, what's not to like about hydrogen?
I just realized the actual more analogous Google example, you know, to like what they do with Gmail and all these things. Forget about driving you past things, since the driver doesn't actually have to drive. You don't actually have to have windows. Replace the windows with view screen. They'll even give you the car for free. They'll give you the car for free, or use of the car for free.
You just can't look out the car. It'll have view screens
showing you ads the whole time you're driving. But as long as you're viewing those ads while you're driving, you can order a car. It'll come to you. It'll take you wherever the hell you want. And you pay for it by watching ads through the whole drive.
Can I be honest? I, as a kid, I loved looking out the window. Can I be honest? When I was like just riding in a car, I don't know about you.
Yes,
but staring out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it's like what?
And I don't fly all that often, but when I do, I like looking out the window.
You know, I don't sit in a window seat in a plane, not so much because I don't like looking out the window. I mean, after having flown like millions and millions of miles, It's not that. It's just because it's inconvenient in terms of like getting to the bathroom. And getting
I know. I have gotten aisle seats more recently for that.
And there are planes right now where you have all aisle access in business class. And I've sat in some of those. I'll tell you what. With those, I'm like, fine. I mean, I want to be in the window.
Yeah.
Okay. If I could be in a window and it's not going to be obstructed by somebody, or if I'm sitting in the window because I got my wife sitting by me or something right. like that, like which happens more often now. Okay. You know, so we're traveling with my son or whatever, whatnot for a vacation, which we like to do a lot. Okay. I'll gladly sit in the window and like look out because honestly, it's like looking at the earth like from above is awesome.
There you go. Okay, enough about the cars. It's time for another break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about Apple, and then we'll do a lightning round. So I guess Apple's not really at the complete end of the show for you anti-Apple folks, so fast forward through the Apple segment. Come back for the lightning round. We will be back after this.
Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, here we are. You know, Yvonne, I swore after last week's show that this week I'd pay attention to the timer, I'd ring the bell.
Oh, yeah, that timer thing is working, like, really well.
Yeah, and so, like, you know, okay, we did good in our first little segment. We kept that to 10 minutes. Our segment on the election, instead of the target, which is 15 minutes, we took 30. This last segment on cars, instead of 15 minutes, we took 20. As Yvonne dies on me.
We did 30 minutes of the election, really?
Yes,
holy
we did.
Shit.
Anyway, so we just suck. So okay, can we do Apple in 10 minutes? Can we do Apple in 10?
Tell me about
Apple.
Okay. So Apple reported revenue and profit soared. Let's see. 35%. They made a truckload of money,
but not enough to meet expectations, right?
No. Actually, they met expectations for the last quarter. That wasn't the problem. What people were bitching was that their forecast was like light.
Okay.
They also happen. To accumulate, they have over $200 billion in cash. This is despite the fact that they keep trying to pay more dividends and keep trying to buy back as much stock as they can, and they keep just making so much money that they can't seem to spend it as fast as they make it, despite how hard they're trying. An interesting stat came out this week where Apple apparently makes right now 96% of the profits in the mobile phone business.
And at this point, it's got to be similar on PCs too, right? Like No.
Because HP and Dell and all those are making money. They are making money on their PCs.
But are they lower margin than Apple on those things too? And Apple's market share is increasing.
They are lower margin, but it's not as radical.
I just meant Apple, not like 97.
They're high, but remember, Apple has 50% of the mobile phone market in the U.S. For example,
right?
Even with the increased market share that U.S. has, I think Apple is in the teens is still in the U.S. on PC market share. So they're not as big in terms of PCs.
But the,
I think in terms of consumers,
but the one thing to point out,
a lot higher.
The one thing to point out there that a number of people have been pointing to, I keep saying pointing, is that
the point of the pointer
is that the PC market, if you don't include tablets and phones, is overall shrinking. Most most companies are shrinking. Mac sales except are Apple. Still increasing.
Correct. That is correct. Yes, but the point is that I those are the companies still selling PCs in a market that's shrinking. Are still making money on those, because one of the things that happened in the 90s PC market where companies got into trouble, it has to do with the fact that it has to do a lot with inventory. Because, I don't know, listen, technology was changing so quickly that in 3 months, processor speeds and everything was changing so fast that if you were not building stuff to order, you wound up losing money because you were holding inventory that 3 months from now, it depreciated like 34% of value, like that, okay? And that's how Dell started making a lot of money, and that's how they started killing Compaq and a whole bunch of other companies. We don't have that case right now anymore. I mean, you know, technology in the PC business is not changing that much, so there isn't that much risk in the business. The companies that are making them, they're making them built to order. They're making a lot of that, so they don't even have a lot of inventory risk. And even in a decreasing market, because they are making built to order, you know, and they're not in a price war over it. Dell, HP, all of these are not interested in the price war at all. They just, you know, look, we're going to make them. We're going to sell it at this price. We're selling it at this price. You know, you don't want it, whatever. We just won't make as many. That's it.
Gotcha. Anyway, Apple's making a crap load of money, but Wall Street didn't like the forecast, I guess.
They never liked the Q3 forecast. They never liked this forecast.
People were pointing out as well, like a number of people were bitching about the watch and that it looks like a failure, and then other people were pointing out, well, actually...
Actually, the numbers are that Apple Watch has 75% of the global smartwatch market right now.
After being out less than 3 months.
Yes. I feel like I go Apple profits were up 35%, and they have 96% of profits in mobile. And I think they probably, if you talk about, I am going to guess they have about, they may have like a market share of like whatever the heck it is in PCs. I think they have like 30 to 400% of the market share in the PC business. And it's a very simple reason why this is. It's the difference between a model where Apple has an when you buy an Apple product, you're buying an ecosystem. That's what you're getting into. You're not buying a device. You're buying into an entire ecosystem. When you're buying an Android phone, for the most part, you're buying just that device. And then you're picking other things. And that's where Apple is making their money. It's simple as that. I mean, they are really...
To some degree, on some of those Android devices, you're buying into the Google ecosystem, but not to the same degree as you do with Apple.
Not anywhere close. And the thing is that you've got one vendor that's selling you the device, and then you're buying into Google. And oh, by the way, Google makes Android, but oh, by the way, they don't charge money for Android to a certain extent. And then you're buying into Google for a few things. But then you've got a lot of those vendors trying to circumvent some of the stuff Google does to a certain extent. So I think it's the difference between selling a device and selling a deliverable. I think that when you buy and it's something that I talk about in business all the time. What is it that you're looking for? Do you want, look... You want to be able to do A, B, and C. And I'm selling you something that delivers on that service that you're looking at. Or I could sell you five, six different pieces of it, and you can figure it out. And that's, I think that's what's, honestly, I think that's what's making the difference with it, because I think that if you're a consumer and you're buying stuff out there, and I've said this before, how easy is it to go into a freaking Apple store and just pick something up and get it to work? And why would you not pay a premium over that? I know I do. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to. I don't have time for this shit. I really don't. Like a year or two ago, I grabbed my mom's like Android phone, and I was just like, after like 15 minutes of trying to figure out how to install an app, and they kept telling me, "Oh, this app is not compatible with this phone." Well, you know what? Shit. If I'm in an iTunes store, it's not going to let me download something that's not compatible with that fucking phone. Why am I going through this? And it kept telling me the same shit. I'm like, dude, no. I wanted to throw the phone out the window. And I think that that's why you're seeing this dramatic shift in profits. I mean, but I just couldn't believe that it's to this extent. I mean, you know, the 99. I mean, and I said to people, like, for the last 3 years, oh, Apple's not getting the market share. They're not getting the market share. So this is an argument I've had this argument doing business with a lot of people the last 20 years. Would you rather have, you know, 90% of the profits, okay, on something, right? You know, would you rather have, explain different. Would you rather have 50% margin on $100 million or 2% margin on, you know, or like 0.5% on $1 billion? I mean, it's, you know, what's the point of when you generate that much more revenue, but you have so much more work, so much more effort, so much more that, to what? To make that tiny margin? Who gives a fuck? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And that's, to me, it seems like what Samsung and some of the other companies are doing, and even Google to a certain extent in the mobile market, and Microsoft, you know, you're putting all of this damn effort out there to not make anything. I mean, I don't know. And remember, they have very different approaches. The purchases have been totally different.
We're at 10 minutes. Wrap it up.
No, I was going to ask you to give your take. Why do you think this phenomenon has turned into this direction so dramatically in this way?
You mean Apple's success in general?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think you already nailed it. I mean, the bottom line is they sell the experience, they sell the brand, they sell the fact that they, you know, somebody, the general person off the street instantly recognizes Apple, and they recognize it as a premium aspirational thing. Now, some people react to that negatively and don't want to do that because of they see Apple's attitude and they don't like it and whatever. But, you know, that's their general principle. Whereas for the most part, you don't have people having really strong notions of, like, what do I associate with Samsung? You know,
that's right.
What do I associate with any of these other brands? I mean, certainly the folks who are really into Android and care about it, they have opinions on those things, but the general purpose.
Yeah. But those are the same geeks that we used to talk about 10, 20 years ago. I know which ones guys are talking about. Yeah, sure. I know.
And then a lot of what Android is getting is not people who, you know, are like really into the Google ecosystem and go after the high end Nexus devices or whatever, or the latest top of the line Samsung. It's people who come into the store and say, "Give me the cheapest smartphone."
Exactly.
Sing me daddy's song.
You know, so. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's it for Apple. Let's take another break and we'll come back and lightning round.
Lightning. We'll, not Lightning McQueen.
We'll be right back
after
this.
Jake, I finished that song.
Thank you for the song, Alex.
It was the UX for your song.
I said Sam's song, and so he's been singing Sam's song.
Come on, buddy.
Do-do-do. This is Sam from the future here. As I was putting together, I realized that that might not have made a lot of sense because you couldn't actually hear my son singing over Yvonne and I talking. It's because I have a nice little directional microphone and it picks up most what's right in front of it, and I didn't stop talking to allow for you to hear the song. In any case, what happened there, my son came in the room, Yvonne and I were talking, and I said Sam's song, and my son was like, Sam's song, and so he started singing. And so for the last minute or so that we were talking, he was singing a song, you know, about Sam's song, and then he talked about it a little bit, and you could catch that, but not the song itself, so it didn't really make much sense. But god damn it, it's my son, and it was kind of cute, and so I left it in. Anyway, I can do that. It's my podcast. We'll be back after this break. Do-do-do!
You're in The Valley, AM 1620, and LiganAirRadio.com. This is where you'll find your favorite songs.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
Come on, baby! Let's do the twist.
Well, they got a new dance, and it goes like this.
Classic music for a classic American town, AM 1620, and in stereo at LiganAirRadio.com, The Valley.
Okay, we are back. It's time for the lightning round. I will start this time because, Yvonne, I've made you start the last couple times around, and I am going to try to use the timer here. Okay. Nice. Number one. A couple weeks ago, I mentioned I was going to watch the Star Wars Holiday Special. I just wanted to follow up and say I did indeed watch it.
I did. Let's just say that the Twitter feed and Facebook feed from your family,
yes,
was lit up about the disgusting quality of the Holiday Special.
Yes, because I made them watch some of it. I did not make them watch all of it. I watched all of it, but they only really watched the first 20 minutes, maybe. But yes.
It was apparently just beyond awful.
It completely deserves its reputation. That's all there is to say about it. And
you know what the thing is that I'm remembering? That I must have watched at least pieces of it. I'm having flashbacks to it. I forgot about it completely. And then after you mentioned it, I realized, shit, I think I watched this turkey.
And I do want to mention, I 2 weeks ago when we talked about it, I said you could find it on YouTube. Just a warning for those folks who do watch it on YouTube. It is missing... Porn. Well, no. It is missing the theme song at the beginning and the theme song at the end, which isn't that bad because you know the Star Wars theme song. But more critically, it is missing the cartoon in the middle. Which is the
cartoon?
There's a cartoon in the middle, yes, where it's apparently the first place where the character of Jabba the Hutt was ever introduced. And from all reports, and I agree with this, it was the only part of the 2 hours that was even remotely interesting or worth watching. And that's missing from the version on YouTube. If you search online, you can undoubtedly find that elsewhere. I mean, I watched the whole thing, including the cartoon. So if you're smart, you know how to find those things. But look, if you want to torture yourself, I mean, honestly, it's one of these things that's so bad, it's comical. So you watch this thing and, like, you know, the Wookiee comes out and puts on a display of these, like, alien dancers hologram things. And my wife was complaining at one point, the grandfather Wookiee puts on some sort of virtual reality headset. And she called it Wookiee porn because basically it's got some woman, like, being all seductive and stuff and singing to the Wookiee and going, and like in a clearly fairly sexual way, and it's like this was aimed at kids. Anyway, Your turn, Yvonne.
Let's see. What about this whole Planned Parenthood videos coming out the last couple of weeks? I don't know if you saw this controversy.
Yes, I have seen this, and you know, my thought about it, at the end of last week's show, I said, we don't really want to talk about that. But look, here's the bottom line. Here's my take on it. First of all, from everything I've seen about this, yes, they pay for tissue that comes from aborted fetuses. Yes, they do. From everything I've heard, they are paying expenses only. They're not making a profit off of this. They're not doing whatever.
They're not making a profit off it. They're just paying expenses.
And,
right.
And my end thought, and look, this... what are they selling it for? They're selling it for medical research to make all kinds of advancements into treating people. And my thought is like, look... the details of the abortion debate aside, these abortions are happening. They're happening anyway. Would you prefer they just throw them in the trash? Instead of throwing them in the trash, they are getting medical value out of them, where the research that comes out of this could help untold number of people. So I'm like, fine. Now, and if you are concerned, and look, you know, we don't talk about abortion much on this show. I'm polls have shown that the vast majority of people actually have a middle ground here. They're not 100% pro-choice. They're not 100% pro-life. They occupy this middle where they realize that, you know, the amount of consideration you should give the fetus probably changes over the course of pregnancy from almost zero at the beginning to almost the full that you would give any human being right before birth. And that over time that changes now. And so I feel that way. And so as part of that, I feel that, like, yes, there are circumstances where, you know, abortion is probably necessary. It's probably the thing that has to happen. I don't deny women's choice to be able to do that. However, I would still like to minimize it. But if you want to minimize abortion, you don't do it by messing around with this kind of stuff. Well, what do you do with the fetuses that are aborted?
Right. Exactly.
The number one way that's been shown, there was actually, there was a study done in Colorado recently that showed this. The number one way to reduce the amount of abortions, do you know what it is, Yvonne?
Well, I don't know. What is it?
Free birth control. Hand out free birth control.
What a shocker.
Yeah. And guess what? The other part of it? Widespread, open sexual education and talking to people about sex and what you do and what causes what and how to prevent pregnancy.
It's
like, so the thing I get, like, from the anti-abortion folks, like, I recognize you may have a very deeply held value that even very early fetuses should deserve the full rights of a human being. Okay. And there, you can be logically consistent and go from that. And that, yeah, just as consistent as I can be with my, it starts out at zero and gradually increases over the course of the 9 months. But if you really and truly want to stop abortions, the way to do so is by birth control and sex ed. And so what really gets my goat is the anti-abortion people who in the same breath are pushing abstinence-only education,
right,
and are doing everything they can to make it hard to get birth control. It's like,
I support a woman's right to
agree
with her body. I totally agree. But you know what? I'm not like, hey, let's have more abortions. Abortions, yes, let's just have abortions. No.
I'm one of those who says a woman should have the right to do so, but I think every time it happens, it's sad, and I wish it didn't have to happen. And the way for it not to happen is to give the woman control over when they get pregnant in the first place.
I mean, it is what it is, but, you know, look, let's try to minimize the cases where it needs to happen. That's it.
And meanwhile, specifically on this issue, it's like, if the abortions are going to happen anyway, I would much rather that the fetuses go to medical research as much as humanly possible and as much as is needed by the research community.
Agreed.
Then they just be tossed. You know,
right.
So, and if part of that involves payments in order to cover costs, great. Now, would I be disturbed if there was evidence that what was happening was there was such a price on fetal remains that people were going out and getting pregnant and having abortions just so that they could get paid for their fetuses?
Right. Okay, that would be.
Then I might get disturbed by that. But that's not what's happening.
That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening. But yeah.
Okay.
So.
Next. Sorry.
All right, I picked that last subject.
It's my turn. Damn it.
Yes, it's your turn to see what I can see.
Gawker.
No. Gawker.
Have you been watching the explosion on Gawker?
I did. Yes.
So I ended up speaking mostly about the abortion thing, and you barely said a word. So talk about Gawker for a second.
Well, the whole Gawker thing, what I understood was that there was an article that was posted on Gawker and where they outed executive at Condé Nast Publications who apparently was trying to get a male prostitute. And for whatever the hell reason, they felt that was newsworthy and they published it. Now, there was a meeting with the board of Gawker. And they said that it was ridiculous that they posted it, and they retracted the article. And then the people that published the article went and resigned in a very pissed off manner.
And basically, with the statement was that whether or not you agree with the decision that we should have posted the article, whether or not you agree with the decision that we should have taken it off after everybody got upset with it, it should be an editorial decision, not one run by the board or the executives. And basically, they said we cannot be editors anymore because we no longer feel like we can exercise editorial independence.
Like, you know what? Look, the board, just like editors, I think that, honestly, they serve a similar function. I think that they reviewed something that people found objectionable. A lot of people did, myself included. And they decided that it shouldn't be published. I actually happen to agree with the decision that something like that should not have been published in the first place. I don't see that there was any probative value or any newsworthy value.
Although I will see, say,
just embarrassing somebody.
I will say retracting taking the article down after the fact is sort of too late. I mean, it's out there. I mean, I read the article. I saw it. You know, and I'm sure there are copies of it everywhere. The guy's wife has read the damn article. So, taking it down does nothing. I mean, they could have put a statement at the top saying, you know, we are sorry about this or whatever. But taking it down does absolutely zero. It's too late.
Well, I think taking it down does the statement that that basically expresses that they shouldn't have published it in the first place. That's about the only thing that it does.
I can see that, but in any case, this is just the latest.
I mean,
the time, but this is just the latest in the disputes. Gawker's been tearing itself apart. They just, I guess, they voted to unionize recently, and there are other management conflicts with the employees, and apparently this is part of a more general thing where the management is thinking that they're gonna, you know, hey. It's a long. We started out as, you know, this upstart gossip website, and we were fast and loose with all kinds of things. But now we're growing up, and we're kind of real journalists now. And maybe we should act like it. And apparently, a lot of the staff doesn't agree with that. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see whether they blow themselves apart completely or whether they recover from this.
Maybe.
Okay, your turn.
Great. Chattanooga.
Chattanooga.
Shooting.
Yes. You know, and I'll be honest, like, it seems like there've been enough of these lately that I didn't pay quite a lot of attention to it this time around. And I know that's kind of sad, but so tell me, what was unique and different about this one?
Nothing really.
I'll tell you one thing actually that I did notice in the coverage of this. This was a Muslim who killed people, but
this has happened before.
And it was initially called a terrorist event, but unlike most of these cases, I actually have seen a bunch of coverage saying, you know, he was troubled, he was mentally ill, he had issues.
He suffered from depression, he suffered from a whole bunch of issues.
Which, you know, like a lot of the times recently when things have happened like this, I mean, when we were talking about the shooting in Charleston a few weeks ago, one of the things we said is we were talking about all that kind of, you know, mental illness kind of thing with him. But if it was a Muslim or if it was a black guy, we might not have been talking about those things. We might have just they're a terrorist or they're a thug. And so I see it's actually kind of a positive thing that this time around we actually are talking about this guy's mental health.
Well, I mean, it seems like it was certainly a substantial issue. It definitely seems it was. So, I don't know how that's going to play out, but it certainly seems like he was suffering from depression, a significant level of depression, and it really impacted his mood. I think that my experience talking to a lot of people that suffer from depression, I mean, sometimes they try to find answers in different things. They talked about him making a trip to Jordan. Maybe he thought that, They think the religion is the answer. This is the answer. Whatever is the answer. I don't know. But he thought he found the answer in this.
Right.
To his depression. Unfortunately,
okay.
There's an answer that resulted in the death of a few people that probably didn't deserve to have their lives ended in the way that they did.
I think you can drop the probably off that sentence.
Yeah, I think I do. So.
Okay, let's do two more, and then let's wrap this up. My turn. We did talk a lot about computer security earlier, so I just wanted to mention Ashley Madison, the dating site for married people.
Oh, gosh, I forgot about that.
hacked this week.
It did. You got to love that one.
And so, have they made the database public?
No, not that I know of.
Not yet.
But they certainly have threatened that they would, publish, that.
So for anybody who doesn't know, this is a site who specializes in married people looking for other married people who want to have an affair.
An affair, yes.
Yes.
I love the site. I love the concept. Let's just say this. Not signed up to it. I thought the concept was hilarious. Okay. But as far as I know, no, it hasn't been exposed yet, no.
And of course, that's what you're going to say until your wife finds your information online because of
that. I'm very confident that that's not going to happen because I did not ever sign up for that site.
Sure you didn't. Anyway, on the one hand, people have been laughing and saying, these people were looking to have an affair and they're going to get their comeuppance, whatever. But, honestly, it's a very serious violation. And, just because somebody was doing something on this site does not, just like we were talking about Gawker. I mean, Gawker essentially exposed somebody from trying to set up a rendezvous with a male prostitute while he was married. This is the same thing. Like, if somebody starts exposing all of these people's affairs, they're also just getting into, whatever is going on in people's marriages and what they do, it's really nobody else's business but them, and when you start getting into this kind of stuff.
Listen, I don't know. Look, like, I do believe, like, in the old saying, he who hath no sin, may he cast the first stone.
Right.
And, I'm sorry, but, we're all sinners.
But, like,
we all do, and forget about, I'm not forgetting about in the religious sense. I mean, none of us are, in the moral sense, but none of us are perfect. Come on, give it a fucking break.
No, absolutely. But, and again, on the security stuff, I mean, this is, okay, one possibility is they could just release this whole database publicly, and, okay, that would wreck all kinds of havoc. But the other is now that.
Well,
now they've got an index of people to blackmail.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's probably the bigger thing. Can I be honest?
Look, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. They've got this database. They can now start going down that list one by one, calling people up and saying,
that's what I thought.
You know,
hell yeah.
You give us X amount of money or we're telling your wife.
Or we're telling your wife.
Or your husband.
Hell yeah. Right. Or your husband. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a lot of worse people out there today right now over this.
Last one for this time. Your turn, Yvonne.
Let's see. Iran deal. So there's all this. Look, we talked about this. There's really no practical way of it getting stopped. Why is everybody talking about it like...
Well, and we went to the UN. The UN signed off on it. It is now international law already. And the way that works is we're already bound to it, whether or not our Congress does anything.
Right.
Simply because we signed the UN Charter and we agreed to certain things, and now there's a UN resolution around it. Whatever. The bottom line is. And we talked about this a little bit last week. The worst that Congress can do in the scenario that they actually stop this, they over Obama vetoes and they override the veto. The end result of that is all the other countries do it anyway, and we make the U.S. look untrustable in any international agreements going forward. And so that has a net negative impact because you're not actually let's even grant that you think the Iran deal is awful and will result in Iran nuking people in a decade or something.
I think they're going to nuke you first.
even granting that, this is not going to stop that because. All the other countries are still on board. So even if you stop the U.S.'s involvement, it doesn't change what happens in Iran one little tiny bit. And meanwhile, you've damaged the U.S. reputation in a bunch of other ways. So, it's done. Sorry, guys. I mean, you can register your displeasure, but this is done.
It is done.
And the show is done, too.
And the show is done.
I realized I've got every once in a while I run breaks that give all the contact information, so I shouldn't really just rattle off the whole thing because it's redundant. Bottom line, if you're listening to us, go follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook. We're at Curmudgeon's Corner. You can comment there. You can say things there. And that's good enough. We've got other ways to get a hold of us, but if you listen regularly, you know them. If you don't listen regularly, go back and listen to our old shows. We give all the details on a fairly regular basis. But Facebook's a great way. So just go to Facebook, go to Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook, like us, share the show with your friends,
and like us. We want to be liked. We want likes.
We do. And comment there, too. We'd like to have a conversation with you guys.
Comments! Yes! That is correct. Yes.
And if you're a new listener, we'd particularly love to hear from you. In any case...
We love listening.
I think this is a show. I think we're done.
Yes, I think this is a show. I think I'm getting punchy at this hour.
It's after 12:30 a.m. Yvonne's time right now, I believe.
Oh, God, I got a flight to take tomorrow morning.
So we'll let Yvonne go. We'll let you, the listener, go. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll be back next time. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Later.